This is your Other Brothers Podcast with your hosts, Tom and Ellie.
Welcome, friends, to your Other Brothers Podcast, navigating faith, homosexuality, and masculinity together. This is Tom, and here with me are my other brothers, starting with Elliot.
Hey, everybody.
What's up, Elliot? How are you?
Oh, you know.
Do I?
We'll talk about it, I guess.
Great conversation. Yeah. Also joining us back on the show, we missed him last week, Bradley.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah. You got anything else to say?
No.
The people miss you.
I'm sure. I don't have anything else to say.
I'm glad you're back, Bradley.
Thank you.
And also joining us, completing our quadrangle, although it's shaped more like a semicircle, is Frank.
Hello.
Welcome, Frank. When was the last episode you were on?
The last episode I was on was the 1 year anniversary episode.
Oh, yes. We had.
Of the podcast.
What was it? Eight other brothers? Nine other brothers?
Something like that. Yeah.
On that show.
Quite a number.
But we got four other brothers here today. And y'all, this is a special episode because we're back in the Blue Ridge. We're back in the Jewel. And we are recording from... Elliot, do you want to, like, paint the picture?
It's a fort. It's a blanket fort.
I was thinking, like, a Bedouin circus tent.
Yeah.
But we've got, like, sheets hanging from the walls, pinned to the roof, and encircling us. Ceiling, I'm sorry. And yeah, it feels like we're like in a circus or in a Bedouin community. And we're
you are really liking that word.
I love the word Bedouin. It's one of my top seven words.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Seven?
We'll hear the rest later.
Okay.
Intermission.
One of them may be subtle.
Oh yeah, because that subtle B is in there hiding.
Or was I saying that literally or figuratively?
Huh?
Yes.
Anyway, moving on. We're recording from a it's very intimate in here. It's very secluded. It's very whimsical.
Yeah,
and that's the goal.
Whimsical is hopefully one of my top seven words.
That's true. I know that, and hopefully it improves our sound quality as well. But y'all, we're here and we're talking about girls today.
Girls.
What about them?
They just want to have fun.
They just want
to
have fun.
No, it was all wrong. How am I supposed to catch on to that? You did that before. You hummed a song and then
we're
I didn't know.
We're talking about my girl.
Oh, I thought you were singing.
My girl.
But she said just want to have his girls. They want, boom, 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 want to have fun.
Girls.
Want to have.
That's all they really want. Y'all, before the show started, we literally went through like, what was it, 12, 15 different songs.
Maybe 20.
I had no idea that many songs had girls in it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of girl songs.
So we're talking all about girls today, which will be interesting because we are all, in fact, boys. But that's the point, I guess, of this episode.
Yes.
Talking about girls from the boys' perspective, especially our unique perspectives as well. So it should be a great episode. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
So, Frank.
Yes.
You live here now.
I live here now.
You live in the Jewel of the Blue Ridge.
The Jewel.
What do you think?
What a jewel it is.
Yeah, what do you think of this place? You've been here how long now? Like, a few weeks?
Just over a month.
Just over a month. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
And how are you enjoying it? Is it everything you could have hoped for?
Everything. Don't answer that completely. And more. Or less.
One of those. Yeah. What's been your highlight so far of living in Asheville? Because you came here from where?
I came here from the Twin Cities, Minnesota area.
Minnesota.
And so it's kind of odd having it be, you know, winter, but less wintry.
Mm. Like winter light. So, Elliot.
Yeah.
We, like, redid our website.
Oh, yeah.
Like, totally rehauled it.
Yeah.
It was our biggest redo. Well, it's only been our only redo
that
we've started. Yeah. We've tweaked it along the way over the last couple of years, but our site just turned 2 years old.
2 years.
So, yeah, we started this website, yourotherbrothers.com, in November of 2015. Crazy. And as of this recording, because people will be listening to this 700 years from now. Right. But as of this recording, 2 years old. We are now 2 years old. We are in the, what do they call this?
Terrible twos.
The terrible twos. That's here where we are. And we figured, out. Yeah, we figured once we get to the terrible twos, let's redo our site beautifully. And we did. And Elliot, you did a fantastic job.
Thanks. It was a nightmare.
It was. But everything's perfect now.
No.
No, it's not.
It's
but
closer.
It's coming along, yeah. So for people who are new to the site or new to the show, if you go to yourotherbrothers.com, it's a whole new Your Other Brothers experience. You can easily navigate, along with navigating faith, homosexuality, and masculinity, you can now navigate our stories with blog, podcast, and video, and you can figure out our stories based on those three portals. And you can go and read some stuff, listen to some stuff, watch some stuff, and hopefully it's a little bit easier to get around. There's mm-hmm. there's some more artwork. Elliot, you did some awesome artwork for the site, additional artwork from what people were already familiar with. So there's just a lot of cool. It's old and familiar, but it's also new and exciting and hopefully a little streamlined. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten a lot of great feedback on it so far. So
yeah, so far so good.
So go check out. Go click around and see what you find.
And tell me if things don't Elliot, work.
Yeah, email Elliot at yourotherbrothers.com if yes. something is not working or it looks weird on your device, because it might look different
so
on
many
your phone
devices.
Versus your
iPad.
iPad, thank you. Or your desktop. Or
your laptop.
Or your Zune or whatever else.
People don't use Zunes anymore.
I had the first generation Zune because I wanted to be cool.
Frank rocking the Zune. But yes, let us know what you think. We'd love your feedback. So if you enjoy our new website, I think everyone is really going to be really excited. They should stay tuned because we have lots of new stuff coming, especially in the form of video. So y'all just stay tuned.
Video.
For new Your Other Brothers content. That's all. This is a little teaser.
Mm.
There's new stuff coming. So if you've enjoyed what you see so far with the new website, yeah, stay tuned. There's more coming. Or is there? Question mark?
Yeah, there is.
There is. Okay.
Dude, you don't sound confident about that. Are you telling the truth?
So y'all, if you enjoy Your Other Brothers podcast, please rate us, subscribe us, subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can rate and review us on iTunes. And we really appreciate this latest iTunes review. I mentioned last episode how we had hit our 50th
yeah.
rating and review. That was amazing. That's a huge milestone. And so like clockwork, our faithful listeners, I put it out there. Let's continue. Let's begin our next 50. We're like on a new frontier now. We're going to close in on 100
mm-hmm.
ratings and reviews. And then we're going to go to like 500. And then we're going to go to 1,000.
Okay.
We're going to get there.
Slow down.
So but... anyway, before we can get to 5,000, we have to start with 51.
Okay.
So we got to 51.
Cool.
And this comes from Witness. Witness.
Mm.
And Witness says, you are not alone. Witness says, I cannot say enough good things about this podcast. It's like a lifeline of hope and camaraderie to those of us who have felt alienated, outcast, misunderstood, shameful, dirty, messed up, wrong, and just plain weird for most of our lives. I love the humor and the banter, as well as the way in which Tom and Elliot tackle sensitive subjects head-on through the lens of biblical faith without reservation. These guys are the real deal, and I am forever grateful for the pioneering work they've done sharing their stories and creating a safe place for men of faith to openly discuss their sexuality, regardless of how messy it may be.
Mm.
So thank you, Witness.
Wow.
That's awesome. And he
very
says Tom
well
and
written.
Elliot. Yeah, he says Tom and Elliot, but that includes everyone. That includes Bradley and Frank, and that includes everyone else who's ever appeared on this show.
Thanks, everyone.
Wow.
So thanks, everyone. So if you enjoy our show, take a minute and rate and review us. We would really appreciate it. All right, y'all. So this episode on girls, we need a good sponsor, of course, right? And we are, thankfully, supported, the key word being supported, this episode by bras.
Thank you, bras.
Thank you, bras.
Brazios.
Bras do so much. Bradley, you want to tell us why bras are so great?
I can talk about bustiers because now that's a cool word.
No, bras are the sponsor of
Brazier.
This episode.
Why do I have to be the one to talk about
because
you're
what? Knowledgeable.
I didn't sign up for this.
Neither did I, so I will not talk. I will know. You're
come
not putting
on.
Me in that position. I'm not stupid.
Talk about bras.
I'm not. You talk about them.
Why do mermaids wear seashells?
I don't know. Why do mermaids wear seashells?
Because B shells are too small and D shells are too big.
Ah! Thank you, bras. Oh my gosh. Yes, bras. It was a tight contest between bras and pantyhose for the
ew.
Sponsor of this episode, but bras won out. I had to decide, and bras
yeah.
gave a good pitch. The keyword was support. I think when they said support, I was sold.
I'd like to see that.
That's what...
So thank you to Big Bra, the bra industry, for supporting this podcast.
Although,
on girls. We need to move on. This episode on girls, all the content, well, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it is provided by our Patreon supporters, our yabbers. So if you believe in what we're doing, if you love our blog, podcast, video, any or all of that, if you love what we're doing, what we're all about at Your Other Brothers, you can go to Patreon. We have a Patreon page, which we started a little over a year ago. And we have over, as of now, we have over 100 patrons supporting us financially each month, at least $5 a month. And these yabbers are in this Facebook group, and they support us with their finances, but they also provide awesome content for our podcast episodes. And they're awesome, and we love them every single episode. So thank you, yabbers. If you're interested in becoming a patron, you can go to patreon.com/yourotherbros for more information. All right, y'all, so we're talking about girls today. And this is, again, one of those episodes that seems obvious. Like, how has it taken this long for us to talk about girls? But here we are.
Actually, that's not very obvious.
I think it is.
Do you?
Well, at least from my perspective. And we're going to dive into all our perspectives because we've got four perspectives in the Bedouin tent right now. And my perspective is I have always resonated more with girls, connected more with girls compared to other boys. I would say for the most part, for the most part of my life, maybe in recent history, maybe that started to change a little bit. But for the grand course of my life, the overall arc of my life, I have related more and connected more with girls. And so that's just been a very obvious topic for me. But I don't know. What about you? We're going to go around the room and we're going to talk to our yabbers in the form of their messages and their comments that they left us on this topic. But I want to go around the room with you guys too. Like, yeah, over the course of your life, what would you say? Was it easier connecting with girls, harder connecting with girls, or about the same in relation with other boys? What about you, Elliot?
Good question, Thomas. I would say it's hard to say because growing up, I had guy friends. I had male friends. And I had my closest friends were boys my whole life. So I had my best friends, and they were always boys, even elementary all the way up through high school. But I tended to feel more comfortable around girls and in more social settings where, like, there's boys and girls, I would tend to find myself with the girls more. So I would be playing house with them or doing artistic things or swinging on the swings or playing in the sandbox as opposed to being on a field of some sort playing a game, a sport. So I tend to have more things in common with girls. So I would say I felt my interests were more aligned with girls. I seemed to feel more comfortable and more accepted amongst the girls than I did amongst the boys. But I had my best relationships were with boys.
Hmm. What about you, Bradley? I already know your answer, but just tell us.
Really?
I have an idea of what your answer is.
For me, it's been about the same, whether I'm connected, I guess the easiness of connecting with boys or girls. I don't think I've ever favored one over the other. I think I definitely had more in common with boys than I did with girls. I don't ever remember, you know, having more interests that aligned with girls than I did with boys. Like, I was always, you know, with my guy friends. As I got older, though, I feel like I felt more safe or more accepted with girls than I did with guys. But I still, I mean, who I wanted to connect with, who I wanted to be with, it was guys, as far as friendships.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Frank?
Yeah, I've thought about this a decent amount. I would say it's definitely a mix of friendships between boys and girls. I've had my close friends that are guys that I've been friends with since elementary school and up even until today. And likewise with girls. I would say in high school was more, I spent more time with girls as friends than with guys. But I would say the biggest, like, differentiation for me between whether or not I was friends with someone was whether or not they were part of my church, as opposed to more of a boy versus girl setup.
What about you, Tom?
So for me, thank you. So for me, yeah, I would say over the course of my life, mostly girls. I remember when I was thinking about all my girl stories, because I have all these girl stories, a lot of friends who are girls growing up. And I can remember back to first grade bus rides to my school. And I would, there was a girl who lived, because our school, I went to a private school, a Christian school. And so the buses, we had to ride the buses that like coordinated with the public school system. And so like on my bus, there'd be all these other kids from all these other schools. And then there'd be like four or five people from my little private school to the geographic region where I was, like in the within 20 minutes of where I lived. And so there was me and my sister, and then there was also this girl who was in my class. And she was so funny and she was so great. And we were on the bus together for like 5 years. And I remember in the early years, like first grade, second grade, I think predominantly first grade, we would sit like on the front row of the bus and we would put our jackets over each other, kind of like a Bedouin tent like we have now. We would put our jackets over each other and we would talk about all of our classmates, predominantly, from what I remember, the boys in our classroom. And so we would talk about boys, even as a first grader. I was in first grade sitting on a bus with this girl talking about the boys as if I was like on her side, like as if I was a girl in a sense, like a metaphorical sense, talking about the boys in our class. I remember having these conversations, and I've talked about this before, like I would go home, and I've been a writer for as long as I can remember, so I have all these storybooks and journals, and I would write all these stories about the boys in my class, and I would go on these adventures with them, and I have all these like fantasy adventures with these boys in my class, but I never like connected with them in person. It was always a fantasy, it was always in my head, it was always something that was so far off, and I couldn't, like I wanted to reach it, but I just always felt like I operated on a different wavelength from the other boys. They were always into video games. That was a big thing, actually, that when we were growing up, is that they were all into video games and my parents didn't let us have video games in my house. And so there's always a disconnect about video games, and I was always disconnected from the other boys. But the other girls, like this girl on the bus, we could talk and put jackets over our heads and talk about the boys. Or just growing up later on, years down the road, still sitting on the bus, not with jackets over our head, but now in sixth grade, and we would just sit there and talk to each other. And it'd be such a natural connection, but it was always so much harder for me to talk about or talk to other boys in the class. And so I can go back to, yeah, as early as first grade and see that so clearly, that there was a disconnect between me and the other boys. Mm-hmm. But I will say lately, in recent years, since your other brothers has taken off and since I've gotten to know you guys and other guys on the internet from our community, I would say it's probably tilted maybe more the other direction. Like I still have some friends who are girls, absolutely. But I think way more of my ongoing regular connections on a day-to-day basis are more so with other men now. And so it's been an interesting shift in recent years. But I think at the core of me, there is still a natural proclivity that it's just easier to connect with girls than boys.
Yeah, I resonate. I have a lot of similar, like, well, I remember sitting on the bus with this girl in elementary school and relating to her. And it seemed like it just clicked more naturally with the girls growing up most of my life. You know, like I said, they would ask me to play house with them because they got a benefit of having a dad or a husband in the whole playing house scenario, or a dog. Those were my two roles. and I acted them perfectly. But anyways, and I remember the other boys making fun of me, even the ones who were my friends, be like, come play with us or come do this. Like, why are you playing with the girls? Why are you playing with the girls? But to me, like, acting was fun. Or drawing was fun, and I didn't want to necessarily like kick a ball around that was boring to me or something. So there definitely was a disconnect. Like I felt more at ease with the girls, and I would say in many situations, even today, I'm like more at ease. Like I notice it, it's subtle, but even like going through a grocery store and going to the cashier that's a female, I'm like, my guard is down. It's so much easier.
Yeah, totally.
And or if I'm like calling into a like customer service line, or I have to deal with something like some sort of customer service or something, I would so much rather deal with a woman behind a counter, behind the phone, or at a store or something than with a man.
I've heard you schmooze with our female like internet representatives when we've like been trying to figure out our internet, and there's a female, and you are perfect.
I'm like, I don't know what it is. I can turn it on. I can just, it's so easy to like understand how their brains work, maybe like more naturally. They're more intuitive, more emotional, which is what I am. So I feel like I operate on a very similar wavelength. And I just feel like there's no threat. Like there's no threat from a female person. Like I'm not, there's all those other subtle, like little things of comparison or
old wounds from authority or whatever those things, like, they don't come through. So I just, there's ease with women. I noticed this thing happening actually a few years ago when I was in a different season of my life where I only had female friends. So I had two best friends that were female and we hung out all the time, just us three. And I noticed this thing start to shift in me because, like you, Tom, as I like sort of grew up and became an adult through college and afterwards, most of my friends shifted to male. That's most of my friends are male now. I have maybe one or two female friends that don't even live here, you know? So it definitely shifted in the reverse. But a few years ago, there was like this weird couple year season of my life where all of my close relationships were these two females and we spent so much time together. We did everything together. And I felt, it felt off to me. I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, I don't, it's really easy. Like, we get along great. We laugh a lot. We do things together. We had a lot of similar interests and hobbies and things that we like to do. But it felt disconnected. And I actually had to approach them and say, guys, I just can't hang out with you all the time because I don't like who I become when I'm only around women, because I tend to act more feminine, or I feel like I'm just the gay best friend, you know, like they're all cool and chill around you. Cause they know that nothing, you're not going to do anything. Cause they knew my story, of course, and I'm not interested in them. And so you kind of become one of the girls when you're around them. And I hated feeling like that and feeling like, there's something out of balance here. And it, I don't know, just maybe the way that I started to talk and behave, and it just felt unnatural. And so I felt this disconnect, and I actually had to say, okay, we need to limit our time together, and I need more males and I need more guy friends to balance this out, because it just didn't feel right. So the older I am now, all my friends are males, and it almost feels like more work to maintain female relationships now than it did in the past.
Totally. Yeah, we're going to talk more about the whole issue of masculinity and how we relate to girls as men and in the rest of the podcast. But I wanted to mention these Yabber comments and then get y'all's thoughts on this whole notion of a disconnect. So a couple of our Yabbers said these things. One said, I always got along better with girls because I found the societal standard of boy behavior repulsive. Guys are crude and always want to talk about how hot some girl is, and I never really had anything to add to those conversations. And someone else said, I felt like I never really fit in with other guys, always competing for the center of attention and training to be the most masculine badge, or training to have the most masculine badge in Boy Scouts. So this whole notion that, yeah, some boys, not all, but a lot of boys will have maybe a cruder vocabulary, not as polished, not as sensitive, maybe as guys in our situation are. Maybe a little more competitive, maybe a little more athletic. So I don't know. What's y'all's experience with issues of disconnect? Did you experience that? We're, I guess, just focusing on childhood for right now. But did you experience a disconnect as far as maybe interests or language, behavior, those sorts of things?
Yeah, one thing that stood out that you didn't mention, nobody's mentioned yet, is that I felt like guys were dumb and stupid. And to be smart was a feminine trait because the girls got the higher grades and the boys didn't care because they just wanted to play sport. And so me, somebody who is naturally more like intellectually excited and stimulated and focused, I would get really good grades and that would make me stand out from amongst the other boys because boys don't care about their brains. They can only care about their bodies. They're like physical oriented. They're not intellectual. And so, and it, even like in elementary school, all the teachers are female. Like there's this sense of smarts are female. And so I learned really quick to dumb myself down. And I was really good at math. And then I decided once I got made fun of because I was so good at math that I should stop being good at math so I would fit in and not have a target on my back.
Yeah.
And
I think we mentioned that on another podcast, actually. It sounds familiar because I did the same thing. I remember when I was in eighth grade or seventh grade, I like intentionally missed questions on tests so I could look dumber, and I would get C's when I was fully capable of getting A's, but I didn't want to be like the lone smart male when it's like, yeah, like you said, all the females are generally on the smarter side and all the males, most of the males are on the dumber side. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to be like one of the males, even though everything in me wanted to succeed and be intellectually strong.
Then you feel bad for lying on the tests and all the spiral. Thing.
Right. Yeah. Bradley, you have a look. Give us your unique perspective.
I don't know where to start. Okay, so I'm going to start from the beginning, and hopefully I'll explain myself in a clear way. So we're only talking about childhood right now, correct?
Sure.
So I did not feel a disconnect from other guys, boys around me in any way, really. I was just one of them. I was like them when they were like me. And all the interest that y'all kind of described, like kicking the ball and all that stuff, like I was into that. I was into like playing house. And if I'm going to play house, you're going to get a stick and I'm going to get a stick and we're going to sword fight. Like those are the like, if I'm going to play with
they're
the girl.
They're sword fighting.
Yeah. I'm going to try to convince you that, no, we should do this. I didn't feel that, like the separation between females, whatever the term is, being more intellectual than guys are, that guys were just into, you know, having a good time and kicking the ball in recess and then coming into the classroom and not having anything to do with, you know, the intellectual side of school. And then you mentioned that most teachers are female. Going back to my childhood, I just don't remember having any disconnect.
None of this applies. You don't feel like it applies to you.
No. And then the whole teacher thing, I feel like a lot of teaching positions isn't just because of an intellectual side, but it's also because of like a nurturing, mothering side. And then there are also all these studies coming out that not everyone learns sitting down in the classroom at a desk. Of course, as a child, you don't know all these things. You just see boys acting up. You're like, I'm not one of them. So I understand that, but now I'm looking at them like, it just doesn't connect at all.
Okay.
But I think maybe a difference is Tom and I both went to smaller schools.
Yeah, I was going to bring
that
up. You went
to a public school, so you had a larger swatch
population size
of people to maybe look at. So you might have had like smarter artistic boys where literally in my grade, I was the only boy that did art.
Mm-hmm.
So like all the other boys hated art, didn't understand art, couldn't do art, and I was the only one that did it. So I had a class of 20 to 30 people.
Right.
So you probably had a few hundred.
No, my class is only 100 people.
Okay, mine was 20.
But that's, yeah.
So,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's yeah, a four yeah, times, yeah, yeah, four or five 30. Times larger.
Yeah, that's definitely a factor.
Yeah, that's all I had to say. I was like, getting, I'm good.
Overall, I didn't feel super disconnected from the other boys, other than, well, I guess the main thing was athletics. I remember having a couple friends that I was close with in elementary school, and we'd want to play on the playground. But then sometimes they'd be like, oh, I want to go play soccer with everybody in the soccer field in the morning. And that was like this invisible barrier, like, that I wouldn't cross. And so then they'd be like, I'm going to go play soccer. And then I would go and like not, I wouldn't follow. I'd be like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because there's something that was about that was like terrifying to me. Again, similar to what Elliot said was, did you say that? I don't remember. Just like the general thinking guys were kind of dumb and they said gross things and stuff like that. I couldn't play along with that dynamic because that wasn't me and I wasn't going to change myself in that way. Like, I felt gross, like, saying gross things even though everyone would have thought it was funny, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so that I felt that it excluded me from certain settings. But again, my school was pretty small. My class was like 70 students. And so we all knew each other, but I definitely wasn't as like deep into the life outside of school with a lot of my peers. So yeah, I got along with the boys in my school, but I wasn't as close with them as they were with each other.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Because maybe Tom mentioned this also, but not saying or doing things that other boys did because they were gross or distasteful or nasty or whatever. So when I hung out with guys, if they did something that I did not approve of, I would hang with them, but I would tell them that I'm not going to do that, or I'm not going to say that, or I'm not going to be a part of that. And was that something that you were able to do? Like, if you were with your friends, like playing sports, and they were cussing or throwing stones at cars or something, whatever, and you said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. They would know that but I was that way even growing up with like my brothers and my, you know, I was around males all the time. And yeah, if any of them did things that I wouldn't want to do that were either super stupid, dangerous, like that's another thing boys do. Like, let's light this thing on fire. I'm like, that's stupid. Just use common sense. You know, I'd always And I would say, no, I'm not doing that, or whatever. I would say, no, I'm not doing this. No, I'm not doing this. But that would only give them further reason to insult me, because I'm not like them. Like, come on, we're all going to do it. You should too. Or you sissy, or you know, that was a point of disconnect if I were to go against the cultural norm in that, or whatever is happening. So I learned to just either avoid it completely or say nothing, or just silently go along with it, maybe, or just avoid it and just go play with the girls. And we would play on the playground and come up with murder mysteries and have our little clue books and
fun.
So, yeah, it was so fun, right?
Yeah, for me, I could never verbalize, if something was uncomfortable. I remember making one sperm joke when I was in seventh grade, and it was like, it felt so annoying. Like, it felt so weird and gross and distasteful, because I did it to fit in with some of the other boys. I remember this. It was like at lunch, I believe. And I was just like, why did I say that? It wasn't even funny. It was gross. Like, a couple of people laughed, but it was like, not really, it's not me. And that was like, I think starting from childhood, it was like elementary school was video games. That was my biggest disconnect. Mm-hmm. And then going into middle school, high school, it was this sense of, I'm not as crude as the other boys. I'm not as dumb as them. There was like a crudeness, dumbness that was intertwined. So they were both vulgar and just like stupid. And I felt like I was smart and
nice
and polite and the good kid in class. And it was difficult. And throw in like puberty, and throw in, at the time I also moved 800 miles away. It was just like so much going on there that I was so utterly disconnected from my own gender, from the other boys in my class.
So when you say childhood,
up to high school.
So I was not thinking up to high school then.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking childhood, maybe like 8 or 9 years old, but to me, childhood does not include
high school. Starts at 13, so from 5 to 13.
It was not.
So did you experience a disconnect in high school? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, no. I didn't experience a disconnect in high school, but I feel like the guys experienced more of a disconnect for me because I was more effeminate in high school, so the way that they approached me was different in high school than it was when we were younger.
Mm-hmm. How did they approach you?
They just slowed down on their approaches. Like so I had friends, but everyone wasn't interacting with me the same way they used to. When new people were coming to school, or, you know, the beginning of the school year, and, you know, you're getting introduced to your classmates. Well, not everyone's now wants you to be a friend, or not everyone's as close to you as, you know, your friends used to be. The dynamics were different, you know, and I could tell. But I still felt internally the same or similar to the guys around me. Like, my viewpoint to my peers around me did not change.
I just feel like I need to say too that this whole subject of avoiding and not talking or hanging out with guys who say or do dumb, vulgar things isn't exclusive to guys. Like, we're gross, like, crude, vulgar girls too. That, like, I wouldn't spend time with or hang out with. So it's definitely an across the board thing that, like, I don't know, I just feel like that also needed to be pointed out, that
especially
I wasn't just hiding from gross guys.
Those Christian school girls. I
had
some
know.
Gross ones in my class. Shout out to all their
you
listening.
Know who you are.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Who you are. So Bradley, you're not alone. Like, there are more like you. Like, there are plenty in our group.
Thank you.
Where are they?
So I will say this. For the most part, when I posted this in the Yarbers group on Facebook, most of them, I would say a healthy 80%, 80 to 90% of the people who posted said that they definitely related more with women, with other girls, easier than boys. But there were a couple who didn't, and so I'm curious just about, well, maybe I'm not curious about anything, but I just wanted to kind of mention their stories. So one of them said, connecting with girls is still a mystery to me. There's a part of me that's drawn to them, but when I get there, I don't know what to do next. I have no sexual attraction to them, so why the draw? Someone else said, connecting with girls has always been more difficult. I'm naturally drawn to guys, even just as friends. With women, I just don't have the same desire to get to really know them and have a close relationship with them. And then lastly, someone said, I don't hate girls. I just feel indifferent toward them in general. I just crave guy love and attention.
Well, I would say that I agree with a lot of those comments in the sense that, like, I've always desired guy friends. I've always longed for them. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted them. And it wasn't that I'm drawn to girls. It wasn't that I'm, like, seeking out and pursuing relationships with girls and friendships with girls. It was sort of the default because it didn't happen naturally with the guys, or there was a fear, or there was a barrier of some kind with the guys, and so the natural default and fallback was girls, and it was easy and it just happened. But I didn't desire it. I didn't go seek out like, oh, I'm more like a girl, I'm gonna go hang out with girls because I want to be friends with girls. It was the girls are around, I'm in the sandbox, they're in the sandbox. You know, like it just happened as a result of the disconnect from the guys. But I still wanted friends with guys. I had them, they were just different.
Yeah, and I didn't have them, but I still wanted them, and I wrote stories about them. And I would be alone, like at recess or at lunch or something, and the girls would just walk over, and it was like a natural thing that the girls would come in and they would like bring me in as one of their own, and I would be saved for the day or for the hour or for the class or whatever. And yeah, it was a fallback default that I was like, okay, I fit in here, I'm safe here. Mm-hmm. I gradually let my guard down with them and had great friends with them up through till I graduated, till through high school. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the boys were always a harder like wall to crack and to get into.
But there was a part where it's like, I don't even want, like, I want to be friends with guys, but then there was a point where it's like, I don't want to. Like, there was a like point where I was kind of like, what do they have that I want, you know? At the end of the day, I was like, I'm sitting there watching them around the table, seeing who can chug 12 chocolate milks.
Like, 12?
You're stupid. Like, this is so dumb to me. Or I could be over here actually, like, talking about something meaningful or intellectual or writing a story with these other girls or hanging out in the art room painting, you know? And it just happened that most of the other people hanging out in the art room painting were also girls, you know? So I desired relationships with guys, just I was like, but what kind of guy? Like, it was sort of this elusive, they didn't exist, the kind of guys.
Yeah, I would say most of the guys in my class I did not necessarily want a friendship with, but the idea of just being in the club and just having the card and it's I fit in with y'all, I get what y'all are talking about, and y'all see me the same way that I see you, like I think just having that would have been more valuable for the most part than being friends with anyone. There were a couple of guys that I would have genuinely wanted friendships with on the cool side of things, but yeah, for the most part I just wanted the card. I just wanted to know like how do y'all just be the way that you are, because it feels so unnatural to me. So let's zoom back. We're staying on childhood for a minute, but now we're moving out of like a school environment and talking about our home lives. And we're starting with the first woman we ever connected with, our mothers. So I wanted to hear from y'all about your relationship with your moms, because this was also another interesting one. I'll talk about our yabbers again in a second. But I just wanted to go around to hear from y'all. What was your relationship with your mom? We're just focusing on childhood for now. Although I guess you could do a grand scope of it from childhood to today. For myself, definitely growing up, well, I would say initially growing up, it was pretty equal. I feel like I connected as well with my mom as I did with my dad. I've mentioned before on this show and in my writings that me and my dad did this father-son program at my church. And so we connected a lot during these events at our church, and we'd go on campouts together and hikes together with the other dads and their boys. And so we spent a lot of quality time together. And my dad was very present in my life as a child. And my mom, of course, was too, and she made awesome meals, and she was very caring and sweet and just the best mom I could ever have. And there was definitely a shift once I moved, when I was 12 years old, moving from Pennsylvania to Georgia. And I write about this in the first chapter of my book. The first chapter of my book is called I Hate My Father. And so that kind of says it all, is that I blamed my dad for this move because he took a new job and transported his whole family 800 miles away from the only home we'd ever known, or I'd ever known. And I just blamed him. And so I naturally related more with my mom in that middle school, high school era, because she was the sensitive, caring, empathetic one who would cry with me and hear me and stay with me. And my dad was kind of unapproachable, and it was harder for me to connect with him at that stage. We weren't spending as much time together. So I would say today it's kind of come back around again, and where I feel like I honestly do feel like I'm equally as attached and connected with my mom as I am with my dad. But there is kind of this arc where there was a phase in my adolescence where, yeah, I was absolutely more in sync and in tune with my mom because she was just more, simply more empathetic and more present than my dad was.
I think I have a better relationship with my dad. And when I say the word better, take with a grain of salt. I don't really have a relationship with either of my parents, but I have more of a relationship with my dad is probably what I should say. My mom actually wasn't around much, so my memories of my mom are almost, especially from childhood, non-existent. Like, there aren't many things I remember doing with her. But my dad was the one who, like, if I needed something, he was the one I would go to. Or, yeah, my dad was, like, the provider. So if I needed something, that was my dad. Emotional needs. I mean, as a kid, I don't even know if I could even understand that my emotional needs were not being met. So that's not something I would go to either parent for. So, that is probably the extent of my relationship with my parents is kind of small.
Yeah, growing up, I was definitely closer to my mother, for sure, because similar reasons to you, Tom. She was empathetic is a good word. She was very emotional. Looking back now, I think she's very emotionally unhealthy and unstable, but she was emotionally present and available and very empathetic. So if somebody gets hurt, rather than suck it up or walk it off, it was, how can I help you? My mother was present. My father worked. So even before I went to school, it was just me and my mother hanging out because my older brother was also in school. So we spent a lot of time. We did a lot of like creative things together. She did things that I enjoyed. So I remember like a lot of like coloring and crafting and cooking and doing those sorts of things with my mother. So I felt as a kid very connected to my mother. And actually me and my older brother would talk about this all the time. Like, if mom and dad get divorced, who are you going to go live with? Because you never knew if that was going to happen. And my older brother would always say that he would live with dad. And I would always say I would go live with mom. Because my mom was the nice one. My dad was the mean one. You know, if you got in trouble, who would you rather have punish you or correct you? It would be my mom. Absolutely. And who wouldn't run to niceness over meanness? You know, like, that's just, to me, common sense. My dad was more distant and avoidant. My mom was present. I empathize with her too, because there would be a lot of family fights and dynamics, and I would see my dad and my mom fighting, and I would always side with my mom because I always understood her point of view. She would be making arguments, and I would empathize with her. And so if I ever jumped in or gotten involved in the fights, I would always defend my mom because I understood where she was coming from. And I would say I was definitely way closer to my mom. But the older I get, I also don't have a relationship with either of them now, but the older I get, I think I'm more like my dad in terms of how we like operate. And my mom, looking at my mom now, I just think she's so wildly emotionally unstable that I wouldn't go to her now for emotional support. But that's all I had that was available to me as a kid. And it was better than the alternative. But now I don't connect with my mom at all. I feel very disconnected because of the instability.
What about like moving off from your mother? So if you had sisters or aunts, grandmas, just like zooming out to other females in your family. There's one Yabra who commented about like his family dynamic. He said, I feel like I just got them, as in his female relatives, more growing up. I'd help my mom in the kitchen all the time. I enjoyed going shopping or to garage sales with her and my aunt. My grandma had a large garden, and she would have me and my brothers help with the whole food growing, gathering, cooking process. Meanwhile, my dad, uncles, grandfathers seemed more interested in the sports games during holidays, beer, talking politics, etc. I can definitely relate to that myself. Like, I love my aunts. My aunts are some of the most hilarious, sincere, sweet, funny, caring women I've ever met, and they're just fantastic. I connect with them so easily, always have since I was a kid. And my uncles, with the exception of maybe one or two uncles, but some of my uncles, like, there was just a little bit more of a distance. I don't like hate them. I don't think they're obnoxious per se, not certainly to the extent of my male classmates when I was in school, but there was a little bit more of a disconnect. Like, they drank beer and they loved talking sports 24/7, and you know, the list goes on, but there was just a natural, even in my home life, like a connection with my aunts, my uncles, my grandma, my sister. Yeah, it's just so true of me. I'm curious about you guys. If your other female relatives, if that parallels your mother relationship, mother-father dynamic. mother-father dynamic or not. Maybe not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, dead on. My aunts are some of my favorite people. They're hilarious. Always got along better with my aunts. All of them. They were interested in puzzles and games, video games, arts, music. They were just funny. And, yeah, I connected with my aunts a lot. All of my uncles pretty much terrified me. they were always interested, yeah, in either sports. It was sports or hunting were the two big things. And so they would always, at family gatherings.
Isn't hunting a sport?
Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. They would get together and either watch a sports game or just talk about hunting and, like, look at the new knife catalogs and talk about the deer they killed and all this kind of stuff, which I had no interest in. So I'm generally in the kitchen while everybody's cooking and I'm eating the food and I'm listening to the female conversations while they're either out looking at lawnmowers or talking about hunting gear or whatever. So, yeah, I was way more connected to the females in my life. I did have one uncle who was a computer guy, artist, super creative, and he and I have always jived and connected really well. But then my grandfathers, both of my grandfathers, nothing, no relationship, don't talk, barely make eye contact, no relationship at all whatsoever. I only have one grandmother, and I have only had, my other grandmother died before I was born, so I've only had one. And she is awesome. Totally connect with her. She's funny and hilarious and sort of ditzy in some ways, but again, really like arts focused. She was the person that would buy me for Christmas like paint. And, you know, she knew that I cared about those things. And as an adult, she's probably the only like other person in my family and extended family that I felt connected to. And she's probably one of the only family members that I've actually verbalized I love you to, is my grandmother.
Wow.
So I'm seriously stressing out over here listening to these stories because mine is not the same, so that makes me stressed. Okay, so my grandfather, my uncles, like, if they were around, I remember connecting to them very well. Like, the thing is, my uncles weren't around a lot, and they're all introverts. Like, all my uncles, I believe, are introverts. And so most of the time, I remember seeing them come around for holidays if they came. Or if we were to go visit them, but a lot of times they weren't around, so I just didn't know them well, but I didn't feel, you know, distant from them. I just didn't know them. My aunts, on the other hand, and all the aunts, cousins that were females, all of them seemed to be extroverts. So they were the ones having fun or inviting us over for a party or in the kitchen, you know, cooking all the meals, and all the laughter always comes from the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I think that I related, I guess it was easy for me to develop a relationship with the women in my life growing up, but like I remember going over my grandfather's houses all the time. And actually, my grandfather and my great-grandfather lived across from each other, the same cul-de-sac. So I would spend the night with my grandfather here and then go visit my great-grandfather across the street. And I mean, I remember hugging them all the time, and, you know, we played basketball. I'm on the cul-de-sac. So I had relationships with the men in my life. It mostly just depended on whether or not they came around and gave me, you know, the time to develop, you know, a relationship with them. I did have one uncle who I spent a lot of time with. Like, I probably saw him 5 or 6 times a week, and we would all be at the house, you know, watching TV, playing video games, sports TV. I just could not get into sports on the television. It's boring. I need to be actually doing it. So sports TV wasn't a big part of my life. My dad didn't watch sports TV, so thankfully I didn't have that growing up. But I think for me, it was just mostly whether or not you were physically available, which would give me, you know, the space to become, you know, a part of your life.
From my perspective, well, first off, I want to thank Bradley for correctly pronouncing aunt,
aunt. Oh yeah, aunt.
A parent's
right?
Sister
yeah.
is an aunt.
An so aunt. We have 2 aunts and 2 aunts.
Correct.
We have 2 aunts. Let me step on them.
Yeah, but again, I think the division in connection for me isn't so much gender. It's, like, in this way, it's I connected more with my mom's side of the family than I did with my dad's side of the family. My dad's side of the family, I got along with them well, but I definitely felt more set apart. And I think that just it must just be that I'm more similar to the collective maternal side of my family.
Interesting.
And so, I guess, stereotypical picture I get of my dad's side of the family is getting together and, like, going out and shooting guns and stuff like that, which I don't mind it, but I didn't enjoy that group dynamic. Whereas my mom's side of the family, super Scandinavian, Minnesotan group of people sitting in the kitchen and just talking, visiting. Like, we didn't have to get together and do something. It was just sit and be together and talk and laugh and just roll with each other's humor. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I love it. Like, that's one of my favorite things. And, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, boys, girls, everyone together just mm-hmm. just laughing. And it's great. And so there wasn't like a side I would tend to lean on in that regard.
But we forgot to mention, like, female cousins and sisters. I know some of you have sisters. I had no sisters growing up, so I don't know that dynamic of relating.
You're the Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, female siblings. I don't have that. There was only one woman in my immediate household. That was my mother. Mm-hmm. But we did have family reunions. I had a female cousin that was exactly my age, born around a similar time. And so any family reunion, she and I were like, they all joked and called us kissing cousins. Because we just were always hanging out together, and we were like, I guess if a boy and a girl cousin hang out, that's the term they use. So we hung out all the time. We were best friends. You couldn't separate us. We loved all the same things, building forts, and we'd just run around and come up with silly games, you know. So whenever those sorts of settings, that was sort of my refuge, was hanging out with another female. And I think most of it was simply because she was the only one of my age. All my other cousins were way older. Like 5-10 years older, and we had nothing younger. So until they started, you know, having more kids. So it was just like she and I were sort of the youngest, and we were the same age. So it was mostly just by proximity that happened, rather than because she was female. But yeah, that was another point where I connected more with a female than males.
Yeah, for me, I can remember like early childhood. So like maybe first, second grade, third grade. I have one brother and one sister. And one female cousin and two male cousins in my immediate vicinity for where I lived. And from what I remember, when we were like really young, I feel like we were all on the same playing field. And like literally, we would just all play on the same field together. So we'd all play on the same field together. Yeah, no, we had fields where I lived and parks and we'd go bike riding together. Yeah. And then I think as we grew up, got a little bit older. So maybe into the fourth, fifth, sixth grade era. Me and my brother and sister, it's always been pretty equal. I feel like I'm pretty close with both, but definitely started gravitating more toward my female cousin in that part and distancing myself or feeling distanced by, maybe not distancing myself, but just feeling distanced by my two older male cousins. The two older male cousins kind of went off and did their own thing. They had sleepovers all the time and they went and hung out all the time. And meanwhile, it was the younger crew, me, my brother, sister, and my female cousin who would hang out a lot. And that kind of mirrored the struggles that I was having in the classroom, because then around that same time, that was when I started feeling disconnected way more so from the other boys in my class. And it mirrored the home life of the older male cousins. They're like kind of the macho ones and the crude ones, and they're doing their own thing and they have their own wavelength that they're on. And I'm closer in age to them than I am to the younger siblings and cousins, but there is a disconnect, and that's why I sided with the younger. But it was an interesting family dynamic. We still were civil and we got along, but there was a noticeable shift around that time.
Bradley, what about you and your sister? You have a sister?
Yes. Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. It's just different relating to a girl than it is a guy, that's it. But I had a blast with my sister. We still did. I mean, we had fun growing up. There were hard times, of course, growing up with the sister. But like I mentioned earlier, the whole sword fighting thing, like if she wanted to do something girly, I mean, we did. Be wrestling, sword fighting. Like I did, I mean, she did guy stuff with me, and I guess.
Did you do girl stuff with her?
No.
Yeah, right. Dress up.
No, we didn't dress up.
Come on.
There were times where we like play music, and then we would like dance around the table and stuff. But as far as like typical female stuff, dressing up, dolls.
What was that? Say that again.
Dolls and stuff like that. No, there was not any of that. But we had fun growing up. I would say one of the worst things about having a sister, though, is that you get in trouble for hurting their feelings. Like I would always either say something or push too hard or get too physically aggressive, and I'm in trouble for that because she's a little more fragile than I am, younger, but also sometimes women can be more fragile than men. Not all the time.
So
I got in trouble for that a lot. But also, because I was older, I assumed responsibility. So even if I was not responsible for what happened, by default, because I'm the oldest and I am the brother who is supposed to protect,
I protect my sister, too.
I'm responsible for whatever happens to her. Mm-hmm. So that was probably, I mean, there were good times, but that was probably one of the biggest downfalls or of having a younger sister was that if I hurt her feelings, I'm in trouble. And she could all, and they also know that they can use that against you. So the fake crying, the fake pain, all that stuff. I'm getting angry right now, so I'm gonna let it go. But yeah,
we talk about that next time on the Parenting Podcast with Bradley. So we talked earlier about this disconnect with other boys, and I'm curious about the bearing that has on your masculinity, because we had some guys in the group who they made some comments that were very similar. Like one said, "I know I'm fully male, but I feel like something's wrong with me. I've never felt like one of the guys, spending most of my time with my female friends." Someone else said, "I have always seen myself as fully male, just flawed." Mm. And then our own Marshall commented, "Most of my life I've ended up in social situations like classes and work where I'm the only guy, and I've always resented this. It makes me feel insecure and less masculine when I'm the only guy." And I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast that one of my teachers recommended me to join the yearbook staff. Mm-hmm. And I sort of wanted to. I liked the idea of organizing pictures and organizing a book and creating memories. Like all of that just like spurred a lot of energies inside of me. But I absolutely would never have joined yearbook because it was all women. It was all girls on the yearbook staff. And there was a sense that I was already like swimming upstream, trying to figure out how to fit in to, again, a relatively small class, 30, 40 people, and trying to fit in amongst the boys. And I already felt like I was not one of the boys, not one of the guys. And so I had to do everything I could to at least hold my own, hold some ground, and not just like dive in and dive into the girls' end and be like a yearbook staff person and always hang out with the girls at lunch or always hang out with the girls at recess. Like I felt like even then as a middle schooler, as a high schooler, that I had this broken masculinity that I wasn't, I mean, I clearly wasn't a girl, and I never wrestled with feeling like I was a girl, but certainly didn't feel like I was a guy. And there was this, I felt like I was floating, like I was a free agent. I just wanted someone to claim me, and I was floating in between the two genders, and I didn't know where I fit in. And I'm curious for you guys too, like, is that something, I guess we can start with childhood and move toward the present day, but is that something that you relate with or not so much? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say the majority of my life, especially up through childhood, I never questioned my gender identity, I guess. I always knew that I was a boy, I was a male, and I was okay with that. I did often feel more like females, like I related to them better, I got along with better, I had the same interests as them, and I felt different than most other men. But it wasn't that I wanted to be a woman or anything like that. But I did feel like there was something flawed in my maleness. I was clearly different from all the other males. So something is wrong here with me. That shifted, especially, I think, I mean, in high school, it shifted a lot. Once people kind of went through puberty and you kind of get out of this childhood bubble of where your world and like the social construct of boy and girl is very different as a young age than it is when you get older. When you get older, you get a little more mature and you're like, okay, people are different, everybody has different interests, and it's sort of more okay. Especially though when you get into college, and then when I'm in college and here I am studying with all these other guys who want to be artists, and they're all straight or normal, or you know, like they don't have the same childhood or wounds that I have, but they also love art and they're interested in these same things. And so that began to heal sort of my masculinity, like, okay, I'm normal. Or just learning the fact that most chefs in the world are men. And so once my head sort of opened up, my mind was opened up to the reality of what was true, I was able to be like, okay, I'm a guy, I'm just sort of a different kind of guy. And most of my life, I was the only one of that type in that location. So guys like me exist, but in my small town, small school atmosphere, I was the only one that existed in that sphere. And so, of course, I felt disconnected. But I, in that time, projected it on all men. All men are like all the men that I see. I didn't really have the concept that out there in the world, there's other men who are like me. I just can't see them. So once you get, your world sort of expands the older you get, then you're like, oh, my place is, I do fit. Just not where I thought I had to before. So a lot of that changed in who like my identity as a male is. Like I'm way more comfortable I still get frustrated, though, because a lot of those stereotypes are still pushed. So people will still say the same sort of comments, like men, come on, we're going to go look at cars. Come on, all guys love that. Or whatever. Somebody will, like, throw these offhand comments that are very sweeping generalizations about men. And I'm like, no, that's not me. Or somebody will say, oh, men's brains are like waffles and females are like spaghetti. I've said this before. That annoys me so much because I'm like, I raise my hand and say, no, mine is like spaghetti. And so I feel like I'm constantly, even now, there's moments where I'm more confident in my masculinity and my flavor of masculinity. And I know that it's not abnormal. It may just not be the most, it may not be the majority. Hmm. But there's still times where I bump up against that, like, majority male stereotype, and I have to, but rather than feeling, oh, I'm disconnected from men, I just get annoyed and angry at the stereotype. Anyway,
no, but seriously, Bradley, have you, in the scope of your life, because you seem like for the most part you've had pretty good relationships with other boys, but has there ever been a point where you were like disconnected, or there was a sense that your masculinity wasn't on par with other boys?
Okay, so there are a few things that I kind of want to hint at, and Elliot kind of talked about a little bit. But it seems that in our childhood that we were given two options, very black and white. Boys do this and girls do this. So
blue and pink.
Yeah. So if I'm a boy and I like this, but it's not within my box, I guess I must be with them over here. I guess I must be with the girls. I guess I must be more girly or feminine. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I always want to say it's a generational thing, but it's very recent, because when I look back generations, like, again, all the men were artists. All the men were the designers. All the men. So this is a more recent, like, invention, I guess, in America, really. Probably the 40s and 50s, where the Industrial Revolution. We don't need to wait the Industrial Revolution. I'm sorry. But it's a more recent invention here. Two, when you talked about, it's the second time you mentioned chefs. So I actually wanted to be a chef when I was younger. And my dad said, no, women are the ones that cook. Men can't be chefs. And I think it's because that it's not that men don't or can't cook, but men provide, like, the welfare of the house. So they bring in the money, they bring the bacon in, and the women cook the bacon. Like, that they bring, that's where all the comfort and the comfort comes from. So the men aren't in that realm of providing comfort to the family, just provide the shelter where, you know, that comfort can be provided. But okay, so back to my masculinity and my approach to that as a kid. Or in going into high school. Yes, I always knew as a guy, I never questioned it. What I wanted to get out was to all the other guys that I'm just like you. Yeah, I'm effeminate, but I'm literally just like you. So that was my struggle, was that I wasn't seen, or I wasn't portrayed. I wasn't seen as who I am because of my exterior.
So you felt like your masculinity was fine.
Yeah,
but you felt like maybe other boys didn't think you're.
Yeah, because it was overshadowed by my mannerism. Yeah.
So where did you think the effeminate mannerisms came from? Your sister?
No, because my sister. I have no idea.
Or hanging around all of your female cousins and aunts, or like what?
Well, I hung around a mix of genders, so I don't have any idea where it came from. I can remember. I mean, I was super young where I was told that I was effeminate. I had no idea what that meant. I'm like, what do you mean?
Did you watch, what was that female cook?
That female
Julia. Cook. Did you watch
Julia Child?
Julia Child?
No,
did you get your mannerisms from Julia Child?
I watched.
Did you watch on TV?
No, I loved Emeril Lagasse.
Bam.
Yeah. Some salt on there. Bam. Yeah.
Exactly.
No. So I find this interesting, though. If you feel like your masculinity is fine, you related to all the men fine, there was no disconnect from men, then why would you be effeminate? Like, where is effeminate mannerisms and stuff coming from? Where is that coming from?
I don't know.
But it has to come from somewhere. So maybe it's an unperceived disconnect.
What do you mean?
From the masculine.
No, I mean, I was told I was effeminate. It's not, like...
No, but maybe it was unperceived by you, though, like, the disconnect was unperceived by you. That it was there, but you just didn't sense it. Like, maybe you were ignorant of it.
No.
Well, how would you know?
Because
you don't know what you don't know.
No, they engaged with
me. You like
me.
Floppy if waffles. I'm... What do you know?
I know a lot of things. Have you had floppy waffles?
Well, I'm just curious. That's something we should like talk about.
Well, guys engaged with me until they were able to see that my mannerisms were different from them. Then it became a little more distant. Mm-hmm. Like, as I mentioned earlier, in high school, it became more distant. So, no.
So then the disconnect didn't cause the mannerisms?
No.
So it was caused by something
else. The mannerisms caused the disconnect.
Yeah. So where did they come from?
I don't know where my mannerisms come from. I've been asking been asking myself that for 2 decades. I have no idea. I literally cannot see them. I'm like, what am I doing that's different? And I have no idea. So I'm sorry. I don't have an explanation for you today.
By the time we reach the last episode of the Obcast, we will get to the bottom of this. Like the lost whispers. We will understand where your mannerisms came from.
Because we're talking about the female and our relationship to the female. And that's, I think, part of it, especially for SSA men. Like, they actually, their masculinity physically doesn't connect with the other masculine because they're acting effeminate. Like, so they're behaving more feminine.
And even my nose, my voice is more nasally and high-pitched, which is in the my true voice. So I don't know if all that ties into my mannerisms, even my voice, did that start to develop, right? The higher pitch, because whatever happened, I don't know. I repeat again, I don't know where it came from.
Because, like, I can point in mine, I can look back and I can say, oh, I spent more time around females, so I probably, the reason why I move my hands this way or stand this way is because I learned it from, I soaked it up through osmosis.
Yeah, through my mom or through my friends at school or, yeah.
But that wasn't my, that's just wasn't my experience.
We're going to figure that out before we're done with you.
If I haven't figured it out in 2 decades, you will not. I'm sorry.
No, a team effort.
Village is going to raise.
My brain is running 24/7. But go ahead.
Anyways.
Chai.
So, Frank, what about you? Throughout courses of your life, have you felt this disconnect with boys? And have you felt like your masculinity wasn't quite on par with the other boys?
Honestly, the concept of masculinity or looking at my own masculinity or lack thereof is not something I thought of at all until very recently when I've been around groups, also known as
your other brothers,
that I would think of this because everyone else was talking about it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've never felt not male or... Yeah, I've maybe not been as, like, macho as a lot of other guys, but I guess above everything else, and this is, again, me just wanting to be my own weird person, was that, like, in school and stuff, I wanted to be an oddball me. Like, I didn't even want to be, like, you know, the weird kids over there. I wanted to be, like, my own weird, unique Frank person, and I think I accomplished that in a lot of ways. Like, I was definitely me and nobody else, and I liked that. I liked standing out. I don't know if this has much to do with, like, masculinity or anything, but yeah, my goal has always just been to be weird.
So you never, like, questioned your masculinity because you're spending time with all of your aunts and female family members? You never felt like, should I be out there shooting with the guys? Should I be, am I different? Did you ever consciously think about those things?
I did think about that some, and more like, I just felt not like, oh, what does this reflect on me? It was always about, oh, what are all of my uncles thinking about the fact that I'm not with them and that I'm sitting in the kitchen around the table listening to everyone talk? I never thought about, looked inward at, like, oh, what does that mean about me? It's how do I look kind of thing. And that's when I would be like, okay, maybe I should, like, go, you know, awkwardly sit and stuff. Yeah.
So to close this up, to wind it down, the last main thing we can talk about with girls is dating them. We've talked about our family members who are girls. We've talked about our friends who are girls. And so that's the next progression, is dating girls. And so for myself, I've never dated. Bradley, have you ever dated a girl?
Quasi. Okay.
Take that as a no for right now. But Elliot and Frank, y'all have dated girls.
Correct.
All right. So we don't have a lot of time to dive too deep into the whole notion of dating. And we'll absolutely do an episode on dating. That's something that we've put off for far too long. But we'll do a full dive into dating in the future. But for right now, I'm curious, just like your quick hits, your main thoughts on dating girls. What drew you into a dating relationship? Did you feel like a cultural pressure, like in your classroom or by your family? Did you feel pressure to date? Is that just something that happens somewhat organically, naturally? How so? Like, was there some sort of attraction physically, emotionally, spiritually? I know it's a lot, but just like, I know, Elliot, you've dated a couple girls. Tell me about just like, I don't know, you could pick one or you could try to sum them all up into one cohesive monologue. But yeah, what brought you into a dating relationship? You've been friends with them for so long. What made you decide to date them?
Oh my gosh, there's so many questions.
In 10 seconds we'll
have to do 10 seconds, oh my gosh. We'll have to do another podcast on this more specifically because I have so much to say about this. Well, all the girls that I've dated, I dated for different reasons. But I would say the first two, it was because I was just around them all the time. And we were really connected. We were just basically best friends. We were operating on the same wavelength. We got along really well. We hung out really well. We were really good friends. It was easy. It was natural. Mm. And it sort of, I guess, as you get older, it's in your head. That's the logical next step, I guess, you're supposed to take. If you're really, really close to a female friend, first of all, everybody's already assuming you're dating or asking if you're dating. So that is kind of put on you. I never dated out of like fear of my sexuality being found out. Like, I never dated because I wanted to cover my butt and have an excuse. That wasn't my intention for ever dating. Like, oh, I feel like if I have this, people won't ask. Like, that was a perk maybe, or a benefit that would come from it. Maybe it would deter some thoughts or questions from people, but it was mostly just, oh, we're really, really close. And that's because, you know, generally I've related to females better, so really close, I guess we should start dating. And knowing that they were a female interested in the male gender, it was definitely on their radar. So those conversations moved in that direction. In some of my relationships, I felt either equal to them, to the female, or in one instance, I actually felt inferior to a girl that I dated. And I felt inferior intellectually, creatively. She was very talented, very skilled, very smart. And I felt like I didn't measure up in all of those spheres, which aren't necessarily typically masculine, but I still felt inferior in who I was. And so it felt like an unbalanced relationship. And then the last female that I dated was the most unique of all of them. And that was one where I actually felt like my masculinity, I experienced my own masculinity in a different way in relationship to her specifically. So I felt something for her that I felt for no other female up until that point, which was like care and protectiveness. Like, I really wanted her safety and her care and her best and her well-being. And so for me, that felt like it was probably the most true dating experience that I had. And it wasn't because we were friends for a long time, because we weren't. I was drawn to her. She was beautiful. I wasn't sexually drawn to her, but from an aesthetic, artistic standpoint, I could say she was beautiful. But she just possessed a lot of qualities that I saw in somebody that I'd want to be committed to long term. And it fit the cultural standard of a man and a woman getting married. And so it made sense logically, and on paper it worked. Like, we were very complementary personalities and all sorts of things like that. But I really liked her. I was sort of enchanted by her, and I felt a care and a protection for her. And so my own masculine in that relationship with her, my masculinity felt the most true, in the sense that it felt the most the way that I thought masculinity is supposed to be, how it's supposed to be presented. You know, the man is the caretaker, the protector, all that stuff sort of rose up in me when I was in relationship to her. And I saw the feminine in a different way, not as my equal and not as my best friend and not as we're on the same page and the same wavelength and I'm one of them, but more my complement and something that I had something to provide and to give to her. So I was coming to give to her and she was coming to give to me. And it felt, that was like the most different and unique relationship I've ever had with a female.
That's interesting. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, we can talk more about that at another time, because I have stories and examples, and
I will refrain from asking
follow-up questions. All of those sorts of things.
But let's go to Frank. Frank, you've also dated. Yes. Tell us about your dating.
That's correct, I have. Well, looking back, from elementary school all the way through high school, I, at any given time, had a crush on a certain girl you know, different ones throughout. There's always a girl that I had a crush on at some point.
What do these crushes look like?
What do they look like?
Yeah. And that's, how do you crush? Yeah.
I just want to be around them all the time. Yeah, essentially. And so that led to my first dating relationship when I was a junior in high school. And essentially that's what the basis of the relationship was. I wanted to be around her more than I wanted to be around anybody else. And in my head, that just led to, okay, well, dating relationship. And we started dating and everything. And then we broke up and then we dated again. And we're still friends. I don't see her or hear from her very often. And then I almost dated one of my best girlfriends after that. And we ended up not dating and stuff. And then I was in another relationship a year-ish ago. And again, that was me connecting with this girl and really, really liking her and just wanting to be around her more than other people, which then led to being in a dating relationship. Yeah, I can definitely get into that more later, but that's kind of the breakdown. I think the difference between the two different relationships I was in was the first, I had not really acknowledged to myself same-sex attraction yet. Like, I definitely had not. Whereas being the second relationship, I was very much well aware. I was already involved with Yab and everything. And she knew before being in a relationship that this was something I dealt with too. So those are two very different aspects of dating that I've been part of.
Elliot, did your girlfriends know about SSA?
Two of them.
Two of them did.
Not okay. The last one.
Okay.
We didn't get there yet.
I hear you.
It's on the agenda, but
couldn't get to it in time. So Frank, what was like your attraction? You mentioned for both of them, you just like spending time with them. You wanted to be around them. It's like, was there physical attraction? Was it more emotional? Or was it just like a mix of everything, mix of both?
I'd say it was definitely a mixture of both. I wasn't like, I guess, lusty over them, for lack of a better word, but there was attraction. There was physical attraction, like. You know, it wasn't just a pure, like, meeting of the minds or something like that, you know? Yeah. But I would say that came with the just general liking who they are as a person.
I'm curious about you guys. This will be, like, one of our last questions. So this whole notion of physical attraction to girls. Elliot, you mentioned something like the aesthetic beauty of someone. We actually had a couple comments in our Yabbers group that mentioned of guys who have dated. They found their girlfriends attractive, but it was mainly like their faces. They focused on their faces. So they had a beautiful face or a pretty face, but like the rest of their body, like kind of indifferent to, or doesn't really appeal to them, or doesn't really not matter. That sounds a little harsh, but it was mainly like they're fixating on their faces. Like, do you guys relate with that at all? Like, it was like they had beautiful faces, but like the rest of their body wasn't attractive, or like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the whole notion of what was attractive.
Well, for me, it's the face for sure. But that's even with men. I'm like drawn to, if you could have a perfect body, if you have an ugly face, sorry. I'm like that.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah. I'm drawn to faces. More than anything anyway. But I would say their faces were the most appealing, but their body plays a role in it too. Like, I actually don't find skinny women attractive. So if they're really skinny, I'm just not even interested. Mm. I don't know what that is exactly. So like, curvy women, I guess, are more appealing to me. Just normal, healthy girls who have had a meal. And so that's been a part of something that's drawn me in. I have like certain aesthetics. Like I like darker hair and, you know, there's qualities, but yeah, for me it's more of an aesthetic, like artistic sort of beauty, like they're designed well,
right? Not lusty.
Yeah, there's no sexual. I can separate like physical attraction and sexual attraction. I can be physically attracted to the beauty, but it doesn't mean I want to have sex with you. And so that's generally how I viewed women. But one of the girls that I dated, actually I didn't really find physically attractive at all, but I was very intellectually and emotionally attracted to her.
Okay. So you have some diversity in your attraction. Mm-hmm. That's good. You got a good portfolio.
Thanks.
Portfolio. Oh my gosh.
Or like bad track record. I don't know what you want to call it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, I don't know, like face, body. I guess the thing I used to describe, so my last girlfriend was asking, like, what about me, like, stood out to you? And I kind of used a weird abstract metaphor of, like, when I saw her in a room with other people, if you thought of it as though, like, people were sketched out, like, in a pencil with, like, a pencil drawing the outline of the person, like, hers was this, like, bold line as opposed to everybody else kind of being, like, a thin line around them. Like, there's something, like, that stood out beyond everybody else. And yeah, like, her face is beautiful and her hair and everything. And I liked the way that she, like, dressed and everything. And again, like, she's still one of my, like, very best friends. We're super close. Like, we talk to each other about stuff more than we do probably anybody else, which is so great. And so, yeah, I still have a lot of these really strong feelings of affection and love for her. We just aren't dating.
Okay, so you asked Frank about attractions, and I just remember this from when I was young. So were either you shamed about liking girls by your fathers?
Yes.
So dad shamed me into it. And so that's something I just realized I've never acknowledged that in my life. So
shamed as in, like...
Like, if I was attracted...
Do you like that girl? Do you really like that girl? Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, no. He would, like, embarrass me for liking someone. Like,
is that your girlfriend?
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, even, like, I don't remember the actual words, but mentally... It was, like, worse than that. Like, to the mm-hmm. point where I didn't want to acknowledge that I was attracted to women or girls.
Oh, I see.
So even in middle school, high school, like, that was just something that I didn't even want to admit mm-hmm. to myself or others around me. And I think I told Ellie about this, but there was this girl in middle school that I actually really liked so much that I changed my, like, what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I was into paleontology and all these things. And then she liked nursing and psychology, so... From that point on, I wanted to be a psychologist. And I wanted to be a psychologist from 8th grade until I changed my major when I was like 20, 22. So.
Whoa.
But I just remember that. Yeah, that's something that I'm still like struggling with acknowledging nowadays.
Even amongst Christian circles, though, boys are shamed and warned and scolded for not looking at women mm-hmm. sexually. Don't look at pornography. Don't you know, be careful on how you treat women. So there's always this sort of thing that's put upon us, like, don't look at a woman, don't be interested in women, or yeah, and I would get shamed mm-hmm. too. Yeah, oh, what is she, your girlfriend? Mm-hmm. Or oh, kissing cousins, you know, if you spend too much time with a girl, you obviously mm-hmm. want to get into her pants. It's like, come on. Yeah.
And now that I don't have a girlfriend, smart up. I'm still being shamed for not having a girlfriend. It's like, I can't win.
Yeah.
I try to get one, I made fun of it, I don't have one.
You just can't
still win. A problem. I can't win. I just can't win.
So like I said, we will absolutely dive deeper into dating on a future episode. That's a subject ripe with information and things we could talk super, super intricate things about. And there's plenty of guys in our community who have dated and a couple of guys on our blog who are married and some have kids now. And so there's lots of ways we could go. We could go into marriage. We can go into fatherhood. There's those are episodes that will be recorded. Yes. For those that are listening to this 700 years from now, they're already done. So good for y'all. You can go listen to them right now. Alrighty. So in closing, I wanted to read from one of my favorite books on masculinity. I actually just finished reading it. I was slowly absorbing it these last several months. And it's a book by a guy named Richard Rohr, and he wrote a book called From Wild Man to Wise Man, Reflections on Male Spirituality. And I actually referenced this book by Richard Rohr in a previous episode on another benediction, and I thought this one would be fitting to close us out here today. Rohr writes, "We need the bonding of what I am going to call male mothers. Lest you think that is unneeded or strange, note many men's intense loyalty and love toward a good boss or a teacher, like Forrest Gump's Sergeant Dan, or the student adoration of Mr. Chips or Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society. Any man who protects, values, and instructs a younger man in how to survive and succeed is his male mother. We need a man to be in solidarity with us so that we can learn what it means to be in solidarity with ourselves and eventually with others in the same way." And then later in the same chapter, Rohr mentions this conversation with his friend and dear brother. Sometimes, he says, we admitted, we would both like to be able to let it all hang out in front of someone who could just sit there and listen calmly while we were panicking. We have done the best we could by brothering one another along the way for over 30 years now, but we both longed for a male mother. And so, my brothers, let us embrace our maleness and the relationships we inherently attract, whether they be predominantly male or female or some combination of both. Let us seek and find value in both the masculine and feminine persons, a complete reflection of the image of God, embracing sisters who will hear us and brothers who will walk with us. May we also seek and find these male mothers in our lives, men who believe in us, men who charge us, taking us under their wings as we learn what it means to be more of ourselves, to be men, to be and do all we have been written to do and be.
I feel dissatisfied, Thomas.
Do you?
I do.
Was my benediction that awful?
It was not that great, but it's fine.
The episode in general?
I feel
we didn't go deep enough.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's my connectedness brain. It's having a problem because we were like, oh, we're talking about girls, but we kind of mostly talked about boys.
We did.
I was thinking that myself.
Well, to talk about girls, you have to talk about boys. To understand the light, you need to know the darkness. Mm. You understand, right?
Why are boys the darkness?
Yeah.
I don't like this.
To eat the waffle, you must first slurp the spaghetti.
Okay. I mean, I understand it's all connected, but I felt like, okay, but how does this relate to girls? There was multiple points where I'm like, but how does this relate to girls?
In some ways, it was masculinity part two.
Yeah. Mm. It's all related.
It is all related, and it's all supported. And you know what else supports better than most?
Mm.
Bras. Yeah, our sponsor for today. We can't do this episode without you. So thank you, Bras, for sponsoring
all
this
kinds
episode
of, bras.
Of the Obcast.
Black bras, red bras,
green bras,
flesh colored bras, lacy bra. Yeah.
Okay.
Bras, huh?
Well, thank you, Bras. Please, y'all, help us out. If y'all have any thoughts on this episode on girls, go to our podcast episode page. Go to yourotherbrothers.com/podcast. Find the episode 26 post about girls and post your girls' stories. We would love to know. Those three questions.
Your stories about girls.
Your stories about girls.
Just to clarify.
Tell us how your relationships with girls have evolved over the years from childhood to today. Was it easier, harder, or about the same connecting with girls and boys? And then give us a little upper level stories about dating. So leave us a comment. That's the best way to get connected in our community is to start commenting, sharing your story. We'd love you to do that. And that's about it for this episode, you guys. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate all of y'all being here and sharing your girls' stories.
Yes.
Or your boys' stories. Boys,
girls and boys.
Intermingled with girls' stories. There is a plethora of stories today. Plethora, one of my top 7 words.
Wrap it up.
All right, y'all. This is Tom signing off. I'm done.
I'm Frank, and I'm also done.
I'm Bradley, and good night.
And this is Elliot. You are not alone. Even the sparrow finds a home.
See you next time, everybody.
Bye.
Shalom.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Other Brothers podcast. Navigate more with us at yourotherbrothers.com and comment on our latest episode at yourotherbrothers.com/podcast. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And don't forget to rate and review. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Your Other Bros. If you'd like to support us financially, consider becoming a patron. Patrons pledge monthly and advance the storytelling efforts of Your Other Brothers. And in return, you gain access to a secret Facebook group, monthly calls with bloggers, fellow patrons, and more. Check out patreon.com/yourotherbros for more information. And finally, if you're new to the show or want to get in touch, shoot us an email at podcast@yourotherbrothers.com. Or you can write to us at Your Other Brothers, P.O. Box 843, Asheville, North Carolina, 28801. We're glad you're with us.